Well, ladies and gentlemen, it is about Halloween, so it is that time. It is time for the prima donnas of the paranormal, our demonic the demons, paranormal. The ghost hunting golden girls. Anne and Renata have returned to us once more. Yay! Paranormal. Yay! Good morning, good evening, and good everything to everyone. How are we, ladies? We're looking fresh, ready to go.
It's brimming with excitement we are today.
Makeup is a wonderful thing to hide the truth of reality.
It is, isn't it? But we're not going to bury the lead. It is a very special day for one of you today. So thank you for joining us, Renata, on your birthday. Thank you for joining us.
Cheers. We love
cheers.
You.
Cheers, cheers. Look, the coffee's flowing already in the Frightfully Good studio.
Oh, look at Renata go, too. She just dance it.
Making it so special for her with all the deliveries that have arrived over the last 12 hours.
Absolutely. Thank you so very, very much for all the yummies. Thank you.
No, it's more, we are more than happy to do it because can you believe it's 12 months ago that we first had our little first meeting.
Oh, wow.
Our first show together was 12 months ago. And I introduced you guys to lovely Jeffrey. And I think your life just hasn't been the same since, has it? It's certainly improved. But you guys are together again at the moment because...
Together, exactly.
Talk to us about your COVID experience because you've been separated, you've been all kinds of stuff.
It's fucked.
Yeah. Welcome back to Uncensored Radio.
We've been able to skirt around some of the rules because we have a radio show called Spooky Sundays on Newcastle Live Radio. We are considered to be news broadcasters. So we've been able to get together occasionally to do what we need to do, but it's the travelling that's upset us, isn't it?
Yes, yes. We've been nowhere and done nothing.
And when we tried to... We tried to last time. We went up to the Blue Mountains and the whole world got locked down as we left. So it was like, that's what happens when you go on holiday. So I'm just warning you, I'm taking her out tonight to a haunted location to celebrate her birthday. So who knows what will happen tomorrow.
That's always nice, isn't it?
Well, look, you never know.
And she's taking me back to a place that caused a lot of trauma in my early years.
Apparently. So there you go. Realize this.
No. You're going to
a bar, aren't you? That's no, I'm gonna cause some trauma to my liver on my birthday.
No.
She knows where we're going.
Yeah. Okay, well that's good.
So we're going to a place it's a hotel now, it's called Montepio. But Montepio was a school, but prior to that it was a child's orphanage.
Right.
Not everything comes to orphans. What more could you want?
So
I actually I actually did a work what's it called? You know, when you get your job? Induction. Like a work induction there. Yeah. It was like a group interviewee thing. It was crazy.
Yeah, I actually worked there for a couple of years playing piano in their restaurant.
Oh,
she's a girl that just does a little bit of everything.
Yeah, my business partner lives next door. So Rob lives in the house next to the church.
The next house.
Your business
it's
partner.
It's stunning. Oh, sorry, business partner. Can somebody beep that? Yeah. I don't know.
No. No, there's no beeping. Now we also haven't discussed. We also haven't discussed it.
Enough warning and I'll beep for you.
Bite me, Jeffrey.
Not you. Steve's a bitch.
Beep. Oh, Steve.
That's what I get paid for, man.
Fucking Steve.
we also haven't addressed the elephant in the room. We met you, but Jeffrey. We've also stolen Brooke from you.
Oh, yeah. I heard that, Lou.
As I said to you, you guys, honestly, her sense of humor and her wickedness is perfect. She keeps the rest of you in line.
Yeah, look, she's. I think Brooke's done a great job at stepping into the madness after I pulled her in off at one live show that she was commenting on. I'm like, all right, next week, let's go. Let's do it.
Just don't ask her about Beyonce.
Look, Beyonce's a... No, it's not that show.
No,
it's not that show.
We're not talking about Beyonce. We're not talking about Beyonce. We're talking about Anna Renata.
And I'm one of those bitches. I love Anna Renata.
Oh, it's a big love-in today.
We are loving Anna Renata.
Yeah, so you got, like, literally, I think I was looking back at the date of something that I'm going to show a little bit later on. Your last investigation was how long ago now?
This Friday of August was the last one. And
you mean the public one?
Yeah,
public one.
first Friday of August, and our next one was supposed to be...
We snuck the sleepover in just in time, didn't we?
We did.
Oh, sorry. No, the stay awake all night one.
Yeah, no one slept. That's all right.
The lock-in.
Our next one is supposed to be the 22nd of October, unless we get a
bump.
Another big fuck you. Yeah.
A bump from COVID, we'll call it.
I want to come do one of your haunted sleepovers. I just would like to have to sleep next to a hot guy that maybe I could just rub up against in the right places. You know what I mean?
I'll lend you my husband. I'll lend you my husband, Jeffrey. Ooh, you'll be down for that.
What Jeff doesn't understand is what the facilities at Maitland Jail actually look like. There's not a lot of comfortable sleeping positions or areas.
I would assume it wouldn't be comfortable. That's why I'd love to snuggle up into a nice, yummy body.
No, it's a lot of cold concrete and metal, isn't it?
Honey, exactly. That's why you gotta snuggle up.
No, I don't think that'd even work, really. I don't know. I'm so scared.
Oh, we'll see what we can find for you, Jeffrey.
Yeah, Renata introduced me to my husband, so I'm sure they've got someone for you.
Ladies, as long as he's got a good job where he makes decent money, I'm game.
No, he needs a big dick as well.
Oh God, we are off and running.
Sorry,
but that's all good. That's all good. We have to talk about, obviously, the baby of the group. True Hauntings is still going super duper strong. I have a few questions to ask about some of these shows that you've done recently.
And but, I love your face there, by the way.
I have to tell you, I have a little inside baseball gossip. My mum now listens to you guys every night as she goes to sleep. So it's crazy. I don't know why. She hates scary stuff, but she's like, oh, they're just so funny. And they laugh, and I laugh, and then I'm in my bed and I'm laughing. I'm like, you go crazy. It's So you're reaching a very broad audience at the moment. Diversifying.
Isaac Butterfield's 12-year-old audience right through to the seniors.
Yes. And like the retirees love you. Oh, the retirees are mad for you, ladies.
Ladies, do you
I've
have...
I've had one of Isaac's fans, actually. For those of you who don't know, Isaac Butterfield is a very well-known, controversial comedian here in Australia. And one of his young'uns, he seems to attract some of the tweens, and he's really not appropriate for tweens. Yeah. And somehow or other, they've got hold of my phone number, and they're ringing me going, do you know Isaac Butterfield? I'm going, yeah. Oh, sorry, I should say, do you know Isaac Butterfield? Can you give me his phone number? I'm going, nah.
I would give it to him.
I said, I'll pass on a message for you. What's your name?
Oh, hey, in fairness, ladies, can you give me Isaac's phone number?
Yeah, nah.
I'm the asshole that would hand the number out to all the fans and then text him and just send a message of me laughing hysterically. I'm a good. I definitely have never done that to anybody, Leah Remini. I'm just kidding. Oops. My bad.
I would. Well, you never know. You never know who you're gonna meet on the internet. Brooke found out after her first or second live show. Brooke had a few people trying to add her on Facebook. She's like, "Ooh,
oh, interesting." I'm like, "What the fuck? No!"
Listen, it was worse years ago when it was people couldn't reach you. You know, like it was a little more intense and a little frightening, frankly.
Have you had your first dick pic yet?
Yes, actually.
Brooke!
I was so excited. I'm like,
enough, Luke sent me one that was like falling over from someone else.
Not his dick pic.
Not
his.
Right.
Not mine.
No, it was somebody else's.
But it was amazing. Oh, hey, Brooke. It was amazing.
That was huge. I was afraid.
Normally I wouldn't send that shit out, but I was like, whoa. Like, this is
It was like, oh my God. I went running out to Chris. And I'm like, holy shit, look at this dick. And then,
okay, girls, how many dicks? So you guys haven't gotten any dick pics? Is that what you're trying to tell me?
No, we had got one. Because I complained. And I said, we've never received a dick pic. And next thing, we get a it was on our Instagram page, like that. And it was a before and after shot, so they were showing the excitement of the process and then what had happened afterwards. And I'm like,
oh, it was an ugly one.
It was not cute.
It was not attractive. Of course, I shared it with all the army to let them.
It was the worst dick I've ever seen.
I can tick that box. We've had that now. I don't need another one.
No, no, you gotta get cute dick pics.
Yeah, like, I don't mind those ones. Oh, I've got a gay friend that sends me the best dick pics you've ever seen, but they'd stress her out.
Because that's what we do. All of our gay friends, we send each other, look at this dude. You want a space? I thought you would just want to see his dick. You know, it's kind of what you do.
I can't believe that we're talking to Anna Renata.
Now we know what scares the lady.
Broke off the panel. What do you expect?
Really, Luke?
Did you just play me for this?
Yeah. Brooke's
look
disgusting.
At sunset. See, we started out.
Okay, let's get back to business. Ready? Okay, I got this. So, girls, tell us, do you have your next public event planned? Can you get that far? What's happening over there?
Look, at the moment, we are in negotiations, so we're waiting for a few of the sites to come back to us. I've reached out to a number of sites and said, what's going on? When would you like us to start back? So on and so forth. So I believe Maitland Jail will come on board fairly quickly because they've got a mass of people who booked in and have...
Well, there's many tours that had to get cancelled, so we're going to try and catch up on all those people.
But with the other sites, it's all about waiting to see, you know, whether we can or can't, depending on the rules. My big thing yesterday was it didn't take long for someone to complain that they can't come to a tour because they're not vaccinated.
And we're discriminating, apparently.
It took literally 5 minutes from me posting a thing to say that we're going to come back very, very shortly. Unfortunately, it will only be for the fully vaccinated. And then, bam, within 5 minutes, I'm discriminating. So
we should have sent them the T-shirts.
Get the motherfucking vaccine.
We need to do that. Thank you, Vera, for that. That is beautiful.
You're notorious, Vera.
But it's very indicative of how far COVID has spread and pushed everyone.
I don't understand
that. Everything.
It makes me nuts.
Like what? Well, people, the anti-vaxxers.
Why?
it's a good reason for people who are normally angry to vent their anger publicly.
But a lot of it is fear as well. They've had all the fear mongering done on, and they react through anger and self-righteousness because that's the only way they know how to deal with it. But this particular woman, apparently somebody stalked her page and said she was likening this to the Holocaust.
Yes, the, that's a big one over here.
The rights of, you know, being taken from them. But let me just tell you, I wanted to rip her a new one because my mother-in-law actually was in one of those concentration camps with her newborn baby, and her baby starved to death on her breast because she couldn't produce enough milk to feed that baby. So these fucking anti-vaxxers saying their freedoms and their rights have been taken have no fucking idea.
Yeah, you fuckwits. You aren't getting a canister of fucking Zyklon B rolled along to you. You're just getting a needle.
Like, was that English?
Get your shit together. Yeah, no, sorry. Yeah. I was somewhere.
I thought maybe he was having a stroke. I'm like, girl.
No. I'm like,
do you smell toast, Luke? Do you smell burning toast?
I do.
Everyone's struggling.
That's what you're talking about, Luke, because that was the gas they used in the gas chambers.
Yeah. And you know, it's not a, like, when these people bring up this kind of shit, it's not funny, and it's more not honest. Okay. Like, this was something that really happened, and they have no idea of the horror of that, and they're just talking shit. And it makes me so angry, but I could go on and on and on.
My mother was actually in Auschwitz. So she came in the last 6 months of the camp. So by that stage, they were putting so many people through, they weren't actually tattooing numbers on people anymore because they just wanted to get rid of as many people as they possibly could. And she went in front of the death squads 3 times.
Oh my God.
So they lined them all up in the camp, and they decided that today we're going to kill every third person. And so they'd go along and they'd count 1, 2, 3, you, 1, 2, 3, you, 1, 2, 3, you, and she missed out. And then they did it again, like a week later, or, you know, a day later or whatever, and she missed out again. And then she missed out again. So she missed out 3 times.
Russian roulette.
Yeah, it was Russian.
Yeah.
The psychological torture that has to induce into somebody is just beyond horrific.
You know, when you do hear people, talking about their freedoms being taken away in a country like Australia, you've just got to laugh at it and go, and, you know, like Anne said, you have no idea. If you took their mobile phones away for a day, they would be screaming their heads off.
Did you see what happened when Facebook went down?
No idea what real taking away of freedom is. Absolutely not.
To be fair, Jeffrey, you freaked out when Facebook went down, so it's all good.
I didn't freak out about the Facebook part of it. I freaked out about Messenger because I realized I had no way of getting a hold of these two. So that was, you know what I mean? Like, if it went down for
friends,
yes, essentially, yes.
Yeah, the message, like, the message that I got from Jeffrey after the Facebook had come up was like, I could never not be able to contact you for 24 hours again. I'm like, okay.
I need your phone number. I don't care if it costs me $29.95 to send a fucking text message, bitch. I'm sending it.
Very cute.
I cannot wait to see what that bill comes to. Let me know. It will be interesting.
Now, so bringing up the happy subject of Auschwitz, Renata, you have actually been there, haven't you?
Yes, I have. Yeah.
So, can you talk to us about your experience there, being, you know, sensitive to spirit and stuff like that? What kind of effect does a place like that have on someone like you?
Look, I was in my early 20s when I went there. I went to a couple of places when we visited home, I guess, if you want to call it that. There were a couple of places in Warsaw that really affected me. My mother was born in Warsaw, so she took me back to where she lived, and we visited relatives there and everything. But there are quite a number of buildings still there that have bullet holes all over them. And there are also places around the city where they would hang people and leave them on display. And so
there, like medieval times.
There were markers there where there were particular hangings. There was the Jewish quarter there as well, and they were sort of locked into there for quite some time. Everyone hated the Jews, unfortunately. And they also had a Jewish museum, which you can go to, which is like underground. And you go in there. This is in Warsaw. You go in there and you have a look at some of the artifacts and everything. And that's where I had a panic attack in there. I just could not cope being in there. I had to literally get out. Mm-hmm. So that was a horrible, horrible place. But we did go to Auschwitz. I went with my mother. She decided she wanted to go back. I've got no idea why. And it was a place that just, when you walked in, you had to be quiet. You had to be silent. I had no words. My mother took me to where they had the furnaces, where they would put the bodies after they had been gassed to burn them. God only knows why, but she took me there.
As a medium?
I was just like
in shock.
Yeah. It was just so crazy to think that people actually did that to other people, that you walk in and it hits you in the face, and then you just can't talk. That's what I thought, because there's a room there where they have like all the suitcases that people brought in with them. There's one area where they have all the shoes. They have one area where they have hair. There was one area where they had all the wedding rings stacked from people who had gone through.
Oh, my God.
And so you see these hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of things that people left behind. I've heard all the stories. I have heard all the stories, but I have heard it what life was like while you were in there. And like I said, my mother was there in the last 6 months of the place. What went on prior to that, when they still felt that they had leeway and that they were winning the war, and the experiments and everything that they did on people, is another horrendous part of this whole story that, most of those people just didn't live through that bit. So, my mother was lucky that she, when I say lucky, lucky that she was there in the last 6 months. My father was actually in a officer's camp in Germany, because he was captured earlier on in the war. He was a pilot. He was in the Air Force, and he had to parachute into Germany, and his parachute didn't open properly, and he broke both his legs. Wow. And so he was in hospital, so they captured him. They were kind of interesting with some of the military that they captured. They had special camps for those that were captured, and they were service officers. They still put them to work. They put them to work on farms and things over in Germany. But he was in hospital for 18 months because, like, he broke both his legs, and they set them, but they didn't set one leg properly, so they broke it again and reset it.
God!
And so forever he had one leg shorter than the other, and continuous pain.
What would your mother's experience going back there? Did she talk about how that affected her?
No, I thought it was really weird. I think I was the one that wanted to go. She didn't say much to me while she was there, but I lived with her trauma as a child. My father used to work afternoon shifts all the time at a local factory. So I vividly remember as a little girl when there was a thunderstorm and lightning, my mother used to hide with me under the laundry tub.
Oh, my God.
Because the lightning and the thunder reminded her of bombings.
Oh.
And she was absolutely terrified. So, I was born with trauma. That trauma goes into your DNA. And this is the thing people don't understand about war, that it's not only the people that are affected, it is then the people that come after that are born with the trauma with these things that are so, so horrific that they actually change your DNA, and your children get born with that trauma as well. And so you have children who then come into this world with depression, anxiety, stress. They don't know why. They have all types of disorders as well. And unless you can kind of get in and go, okay, where did this come from? Then you've got no idea how to treat it and how to put it in its place in your own life. Yeah.
It's actually really interesting what is passed on through DNA, which I found out recently. Yes,
absolutely.
I don't know if you know, but I'm adopted, and my daughter started my journey, or the journey of finding out who my birth family is. And it turns out that they're all from the Snowy Mountains region. And they used to have a huge property in the Snowy Mountains and had cattle and horses, and they were all horse crazy. And now one of my cousins, I've just discovered, has a horse riding business that goes into the Snowy Mountains horse trekking for 3-5 days at a time. And as I was growing up as a child, I was horse obsessed, and nobody knew where it came from. I actually thought I was a horse up until year seven. used to walk around the playground trotting and go at people when they tried to talk to me. So how's that for imprinted on your DNA?
So what I'm hearing though is that your bio family they had some dough, right?
I'm going to see it.
Property. I don't know about how wealthy they were.
I feel like you're just trying to tell us that you're Sigrid Thornton from The Man from Snowy River.
I'm saying maybe you should remind them when your birthday is, maybe you could get a check. You know what I mean?
No, it turns out that one of my bloodline is the real Man from Snowy River.
What does that mean?
It's a movie. Go watch it.
It's an Australian thing you wouldn't understand.
Yeah, it's a very
Called The Man. You're not Sigrid Thornton.
And it's about a crazy horseman that could ride like no other, trekking down a very valuable horse.
A wild bush horse.
So it's a fabulous, fabulous poem that was made into a movie.
Yes, and a TV series starring Hugh Jackman. Who knew?
Oh.
And they now actually go out and they assist in saving the Brumbies.
So once I found out that my cousin works in saving the Brumbies, which is like your Mustangs, I lost my shit and I just started to cry and cry and cry because I said, I found my people. This all makes ancestral sense to me now, why I have been the way I've been for so long, and my connection with animals, and so I've now sort of reached out, not necessarily saying to them, hey, I'm your long lost relative skeleton in the closet. I'm sort of keeping that aside. It's not important. I don't want to upset my birth family now, because my birth mother doesn't know that I'm around or exist at the moment, apart from, you know, she had me. So I just am so excited to embrace this part of who I am.
To bring it back to what you guys do and what we were talking, what Renata was talking about, it's like a different kind of haunting in itself. There's something that you have to go in and get to the core root of something, because that's what you guys do. For all the like fun and games and laughs that you do, you're very serious about your work, and it's a lot of mystery solving, isn't it? Like, especially with your true hauntings podcast, the research that you have to go in to find out why Betty Jo Cook from 1492's knocking on a pipe is like, you know, it's excessive. I can only imagine.
Renata just digs back into her memories of that time and asks them.
On her birthday as well. How
it's
rude.
Your birthday. You can hit
I'm such a good friend.
You are my type of friend, darling. That's why I love you so much.
A lot of what you guys do is detective work.
It feels like that. I love it.
Yeah.
Like when we find a good skeptical post where somebody's dug into something and we find the true history, like there's one that we're looking at now that is going to be the next one. And once again, the Warrens are involved. And let me tell you, without giving anything away, bullshit!
The devil did not make them do it. Is that what you're trying to say?
What I absolutely love about the podcast is that it does make people think, and it does actually make people go down their own little rabbit holes. I'm going to use an example that Anne and Renata already know. So my son Jaden absolutely adores these women. He calls them Auntie Anne and Auntie Nada. All right, now he's 12, and we were listening to the Lizzie Borden case as we were driving home one day. No idea that the child was listening. And then all of a sudden he's come up with his own theory based on what Anne and Renata have said. He's doing research and he's like, oh my God, when you actually Google Lizzie Borden, the first thing that pops up are the crime scene photos of her hacked up dad. So slightly traumatic, but I like that it's made him think. And, you know, he came up with this theory all on his own. So.
Yeah, I love that. And I love when people reach out to us and say, oh, we've found this, and they'll find more, because we run out of time. We have to draw the line in the sand somewhere, because those rabbit holes just go so deep.
And if we
start to pull our hair out because we think, are we doing this justice by giving information that we're managing to squeeze into an hour? And we go, but we could do another half episode. We could keep going, but we know that people—it's a long time to listen, so we try to keep it down to that hour. But it's fun, but it's also
doesn't feel like a long time though. When you sit into it, I've got to tell you, I think probably my favorite, one of the most recent episodes, and I was not ready for it to be my favorite one, was the Vatican episode.
I was so surprised at how interesting it was.
Talk to us about that, because it was your idea, as you said, Em.
A little voice spoke to me in the car and said, do the Vatican. So I'm sure I've got a little demon sitting in the car somewhere, because he's always giving me little messages. But, yeah, he literally said in my ear, do the Vatican. So I went to Anne, why don't we do the Vatican, Anne? So, yes. And look, we didn't tell the bits that we really found that were really like, you don't want to know that information.
We might upset a few people.
We'll upset a few people, but yeah.
Oh, quick, say it here.
Yeah, I want to know.
We like
what
upsetting
the fuck?
People. Tell us.
You can't give us popcorn and say no butter. Either that or you got to call me after this shit.
We might do adults after dark.
Oh, we could go in a Patreon account.
exactly. Yeah.
But I my favourite bit of that, we had a lot of trouble finding a soundscape for that one, which is those descriptive stories with all the sound effects. Yes. And then I found that one about Pope Joan.
Oh.
Where now the Pope has to sit on the marble throne and be tested. For those who have heard that, if you listen to the first 8 minutes of that podcast, you'll know what I'm talking about. It's a cracker.
It's very interesting. I don't know that anyone would want one of those thrones in their house. Yeah, it's a lot of cleanup.
Sit on a marble throne, there'd be a shrivel factor involved.
Oh, definitely.
We don't that. Okay, I have a weird question. Can I ask it? I'm gonna. Okay, thanks.
Go.
All right. So, ladies, do you think can like a family, a bloodline, I guess, be haunted? Can it go through like generations and not necessarily to a place? Have you experienced anything with that?
Probably about 12 years ago, 13 years ago, we were dealing with someone who was third generation, believed that they had been cursed and that that curse had been passed on from one generation to the next. I wonder whether if one generation doesn't tell the next generation that they're cursed, whether the curse continues, because the curse only is given fire and is given energy if you literally pass it on. If those words come out of your mouth and those words create the curse and move it on. We had success with moving this on with this particular lady. We did a fair amount of work with her and prepared her and got her into a zone where she was ready to let it go. We didn't hear from her again, so she either died or found somebody else. I don't know. Because often you don't hear if you've done a good job, they just don't come back, or it's not scary enough and they'll find somebody
who gives them. Yeah. They didn't hear what they wanted to hear.
They didn't hear
but
what
I
they
have a
hear.
Theory on generational haunting. With the family telling the story of we've got a ghost that haunts us, if it was happening to a parent and the parent's traumatised and the children see this, the children take on that story. As you were saying, it's passed on, the energy is given to that. Maybe it's that it's a whole family with a gift of psychokinetic energy and they actually have psychic or mediumship abilities, which is being passed on through the generations. And nobody knows this, and they're seeing and hearing and experiencing things, not realizing it's actually them that's causing it themselves, and nobody's taught them how to control it.
Mm. That's true, too.
Interesting.
Very interesting, because you do, I guess you do see it that a lot of people try and shut it down in their kids when they say, someone go, oh, so-and-so's, you know, sitting on the end of the bed. Oh, no, you're not seeing that. You're not seeing that. You're not hearing that. You're not feeling that. Maybe that's something that they've already experienced for themselves as a child and it's been squashed. It's that trauma that's been passed down, as we were talking about before.
Gabe is tweaked out. Like, he, no, he's scared of this place. Like, and it always makes me go back to when you were like, looking for the bones or whatever. I'm like, yo. This kid, he has to have the shower curtain. He doesn't watch scary stuff, but he's terrified and feels like he's seeing eyes and things. And I'm like, no, you're not seeing shit. You know what I mean? Like, you're just making it up. And now I'm like, oh, shit.
But Jeff, what about even like my daughter at your house when she kept going to the window every night and she's like, there's a little kid out there?
Well, the thing that always freaked me out the most was having like two murder suicides on either side and like having those, you know, like worrying that those motherfuckers have kind of just followed the rest of us. It always scares the shit out of me. I'm like, go now, be gone. Stay away. That's why Joe and I couldn't have any guns in the house because then his family had it too. So there we had three grandparents out of four. They had a murder suicide, so we were like, "Yeah, no, guns probably not a good idea."
Yeah,
no.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. Maybe Gabe has some sort of ability, and maybe he is able to see things. But they've always been there. It's not like it's a new thing. It's just the people who can't see it won't see it, won't feel it, and don't know what's going on. So, yeah. What's your thoughts? She wants to come visit.
I have to come and visit and have a chat. I'd have to come visit and have a chat.
Oh, anytime you want, I'll put his little ass on Zoom.
But that's a very interesting question in itself. So, Renata, what do you say to these kids? What can you say to these kids that, you know, if their parents are trying to tell them no, but they keep, you know, experiencing something like that, what can you say to make that okay for them?
I think it's the kid that it happened to.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. What do you do to make that okay, to make them feel okay with themselves?
It's really hard if you can't convince the parents to actually listen to what is going on. Because you want to have enough skill to listen to what is going on, but not to enable it, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Enabling it, and I've seen that happen where I've sat down with a child and tried to work.
They feed a story.
Yeah, they're special. And they've all of a sudden found something their parents will pay them attention for.
Yeah.
They become special, so they feed into it.
And a lot of the times the children, our special need children, they're on the spectrum. So they have a fairly open mind to a lot of things that we don't, because, yeah, there's a sense of autism there. There's a bit of autism there which allows them to see the world differently. And so they are open to all of these things that are occurring. And so, you know, the most important thing is to, first of all, believe what the kids are saying, but to work out where that's come from. Like you said, you know, have you been watching scary movies? Have they been talking about it at school? Have, you know, what's been happening? Where is this information coming from? And then not to enable it, but to, you know, give them some strategies.
Empower.
Yeah,
in saying that though, Renata, do you think that kids grow out of being able to see things as well? Because I know, like, my daughter was always seeing things, and now it's just stopped. Like,
yeah, normally school, six, seven. When there is a greater sense of who they are, which is usually that 6, 7, 8, and they get to school and they become an identity within their social sphere, that's when those things start to close down a little bit. So their sense of self-consciousness within those circles becomes more important to them, and therefore those other things quieten down or stop, not for all, but for the majority.
I think also as a parent, if you have a child that's reporting something that's going on, just don't make a big deal out of it, but just say, oh, that's really interesting. Say hello to them for me. And if you don't traumatise the situation and be fearful, they're not going to fear it as well. But if you go, oh, my God, there's a ghost in the house. Oh, my God, they're going to come and take our soul. Then that child's going to freak out as well. But I
I remember when, like, my daughter was seeing the child in the backyard at Jeffrey's every night. She would go to the window and she said, there's a little boy playing out there. And I would look and I'd be like, no, there's not. Like, it was like 9 o'clock at night. She was very definite about it, but we never really made a big deal about it. And I don't think we should have, because I think what she saw was real, and we should not, you know, make it something scary or whatever. Like, we just sort of let it go. We're like, but I told Jeff, though, a few times, and then he's like, oh, bitch. He's like, you know, this is an Indian burial ground. Right? I'm like, don't tell me that. Don't fucking tell me that.
I have.
It is a very old part of the city, though.
I did not really have anything happen in that house. I had somebody... I mean, one thing did happen. And then, you know, probably a year, whatever, my friend's mom came over and she's like, yo, you got some shit going down in here. I'm like, what you were talking about, you know? Because it was just, I was on the couch and somebody was coming down the stairs. It's only Joe home. Joe was up in bed. And it was that thing of like, every hair on my body stood up. And I could feel somebody was right in the hallway. And I just hauled ass up the stairs, and I kicked the door open and leaped on top of him, because it was just such a...
But Jeff, your house is really old. Like,
Well, the house I grew up in was even old. Like, that one was built in the early 1800s. And I always had night terrors as a kid. And I went to the energy worker that I went to. She's like, my thing was dreams. Or whatever. And I was like, why would she say that? You know, and I'm like, bitch, I've always had night terrors. Like, what are you talking about?
We Jeff and I met working at a special needs home several doors down from Jeff's house. And there were some strange things always happening in that house. You know, it's a very old part of the city. It's really the history in the area was pretty amazing. So I'm positive that there's
House I have now, in the middle of the dining room, there used to be a call button that they could press with their foot. you know, there's a back stairs that goes to a smaller bedroom. Yeah.
Nice. Wow.
You know, indicative. And that's making Ian and Renata just want to go on holidays, isn't it?
I just... Did you see the link? I sent you the link that should have all the pictures.
I'll have a look.
Yeah. I just saw the one that you put up on your link the other day, and I went, oh, wow, that's beautiful. Honey, gotta hawk some business. You know what I'm saying? I was like, sales are down. People aren't coming to Central New York. That's
the problem. Because
it's winter. So I want to ask another question, ladies. Obviously, with everything being shut down, you've had time to, you know, really get into examining stuff. We've talked about it before on one of your live streams. How do you deal with the paranormal hangover of, you know, researching all this stuff, going through endless amounts of evidence to come up with nothing, like kind of running into that wall that I think a lot of people would stop if it wasn't a passion project or if it's something that they hadn't experienced themselves? Do you get to those points one day where you're like, well, what are we doing here?
I used to review the, because I used to run a tour at Q Station Manly, and we would have to review hours and hours and hours of evidence and then put up the whatever we'd find for the guests. So I got evidence burnout, and in the end I started to be more in the moment when I was on an investigation rather than worrying about capturing EVPs or evidence of ghosts or anything. I just wanted to be in the moment, because I think sometimes technology can take your focus away from what is actually happening around you. So I will review evidence when I have to, and when we work with Isaac, we have to. When we record specials, we have to. But there is, and I think many investigators will know this, there is many hours of recordings that people have made that they've never listened to. And the best evidence could be on those recordings. And because as investigators, we get bored with that aspect of it, we'll never hear it.
Yeah, it's...
I would not be good at reviewing the footage. I would be like, oh my God, let me just skip ahead 25 minutes.
I'd rather just sit in a location, and like we did when we went to the 30 East Drive, the Black Monk Pontefract, and just to be able to sit up there, and somebody else was running the tech and doing everything, and we were in the best, and I could just sit there and go for it, and I had the best time. Nothing happened, but I had the best time because I was just in the moment.
But you guys do the reverse as well. We haven't actually talked about this on the show before, but a lot of what you do is try to educate people, and even on your own tours, educate people about what to expect, what not to expect, you know, that whole kind of, you do both sides of the coin. You're not going to go in there and go, oh, the demon is in this cell and it's coming to take your soul. You'll be like, well, this is what happened, blah, blah, blah. Or not even, actually, the last time. The last time that I went with you guys, you didn't even tell people what to expect. You went, just sit in there.
Yep.
Just sit in there, put on these headphones, and the information that came out was really interesting that night. You do a lot of information stuff. We haven't talked about the ABC of paranormal on here before. So you guys do...
We're meant to be doing right now, but never mind.
I need you to explain this. This week's topic was urine. Care to shed some light on the urine?
That was her topic.
Yeah,
thanks. Just real quickly, girls, I actually got hit in the head with a urine bottle by a really crazy patient. It was a really, like, a special moment for me. But, but continue.
We're trying to find different topics of interest, but they have to interest us as well. And UFOs really aren't my thing. And we came to you, and we had looked a couple of years ago at urine as a magical ingredient. And so Renata said, you know, let's dig that one out and give it a crack. So that's what we did. We presented the topic on urine last week, or urine, whatever you want to call it. Wee, pee, piss.
I can't because even. The week before was the letter T, right? And that was that the Taj Mahal episode?
Taj Mahal, yeah.
That was really, that was again another really interesting one. So you're doing your part. Again, you're not like some people that we won't mention.
Oh,
that you know, everything is a demon, everything is a ghost, everything is blah blah blah.
Letter V.
Oh, letter V. We've got a.
I wanted to do vampires.
Ghostly vaginas. I love
you
that.
You guys have already done vagina. That sounded very bad. I'm sorry. You guys
We're going on a road trip later next year to we're going to do all the worst towns in England. We're starting in Shitterton and ending up in what?
Nice. Very, very nice. So the reason why I ask was there's been a like kind of lack of paranormal anything on TV in Australia for a very, very long time. I don't know if anyone the Australians remember this bloody show.
Oh yeah.
I barely remember that.
The Extraordinary. Used to scare the shit out of me because Warwick Moss is just sitting there in the dark, and it's like, oh, did you guys ever watch Scream Test?
Oh, yes, they did Q Station and Maitland Jail.
And they did Monte Cristo. This is actually a clip from Monte Cristo. So I wanted to bring up Scream Test for a reason. The premise of Scream Test was that they took contestants to a haunted location, set them up with a video camera. Oh, calm down. A video camera.
Not a long time ago.
and like set out clues to the hauntings, but then they also staged part of the haunting as well. So they would play sound effects and get like air blowing out of vents and stuff like that. Do you think that's a valid way of investigating the paranormal, or is that more down to let's see how quickly we can scare people?
Number two.
Yeah, it's entertainment.
Exactly, right?
I mean, in saying that, by promoting or producing fear on the person that's involved, that can heighten their sensitivities to the environment around them and possibly allow them to see more than what they would have. They're more hyper-vigilant, but I think it just actually then it goes in the opposite direction where everything becomes a ghost when it's not.
Attila and Andrea actually did something like that.
Phasmophobia.
And they took a couple of...
Was it Phasmophobia or was it a different one?
Phasmophobia. They did a couple of people out to some sites and... didn't tell them what was there, just gave them the clue of where they're supposed to be at after dark, and they had a camera, and they walked around for, they said, see how long you can stay. So you've got an hour to be in there, see how long you can stay. And at the end of the show, they actually said that a few of the things that were produced were actually set up.
It was interesting to see the contestants in that because they had this camera and once, as I was saying before, you can get so focused on technology that you don't stop to look around you. And people who are new to the paranormal or ghost hunts will be very focused on what's ahead and don't want to look in the shadows because they're too scared. And these people were walking straight past team members which didn't have time to get out, which were hiding right next to them in the shadow, and they walked straight past them. It's just their terror and their focus on this little screen, which was their saviour, was all that they could see. So they missed so much.
Because there is a lot of that too at some haunted locations where they profess to be doing a ghost tour and then there might be someone kicking a bucket or, you know, banging on a wall.
I was going to say that actually, yeah.
You know.
Kick the bucket. That's my favorite.
I get that to like kind of, you know, put people in the right frame of mind. But if you're feeding that information too much, you're setting people up to look for things that might not necessarily happen, and they're going to ignore something else that may happen to them that is legitimate because they're looking for the ghost of a crazy doctor. But it's like, no.
And look, I have spoken to someone who was a tour guide at a very big location in Australia, and they were saying that when this location first started off, they created the ghost tour and they created the ghost stories about certain entities that were there. And then those stories then became fact. And it became that this was the ghost that lived at this residence and this is what happened to them. But it was actually a creation of the original ghost tour company.
Yeah. It's definitely an interesting... It's definitely an interesting subject to bring up when you're trying to educate as opposed to scare. You know what I mean? It's like I get that you need to do both, but it's like what side do you fall on is the ultimate question.
We're paranormal entertainment, this is basically what we run in our company and our business. We have to start to cater to both sides, and I know that Maitland Dale is looking at another tour, which is less serious than the one that we are offering at the moment. I don't know if I'm allowed to mention that. But,
no, you're not.
Oh, you know. But I'm
beep that bit out, Steve. Beep that bit out.
If this comes out, it might be okay. Yeah. But they're looking at doing something a little bit lighter hearted. So that's what I'm just going to put it like that, which will cater to the people who come on our ghost hunting tours and they don't want to have a real experience. They want to hear the ghost stories.
Yeah. So more of a story based as opposed to actual investigation. But that's okay. What I do want to talk about, though, is your spooky Halloween special that you're going to be doing. Yay. This is gonna be cool. So anyone from all over the world will be able to tune in October 31st Australian time. Obviously, that would make it October 30th for the Americans. But this is going to be a good little Halloween setup. What can you give us? Any kind of little teaser, trailer, whatever.
We're just waiting until we actually get these interviews recorded, then in the can, so that we can lock them down. But some very big names in the field have said yes to coming on.
Ooh, that's exciting.
One of them I just approached out of the blue because I thought, what can they do? They can say no. So I approached them and said, look, this is what we're doing. Would you like to tell us from an American viewpoint, all about Halloween or a spooky story or something like that? And lo and behold, they came back and said, I'd love to. I went, I fangirl over this person, so
I know who it is.
Oh,
I can guess.
I want to know. What are you
spoilers. Are you
dressing up as for Halloween?
There's two of them, actually.
I need to know. Have you got
costumes ready? Are you going to get dressed up for the show? Are you going to get all Halloweened up?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, so have to wait.
No,
hours.
We have to wait.
4 hours with some really awesome music, some guests that are going to be coming on.
We've got guests from all around the world, London, America, Australia.
All the good stuff. Yep. But so no spoilers. If you want to check it out, make sure that you can get on the Newcastle Live app, which can be downloaded anywhere in the world, and join the ladies for what is promising to be a great night. Because
Steve, you've got to message me.
Yes, I will. Their regular show is great. If you love Anna Renata, the Spooky Sunday show is them bottled in a little bottle. Paranormal Trash and Treasure, obviously, is always a nice little fun moment of stuff to do. But thank you so much for joining us again, ladies. Time flies so quickly when you're here. Have a fantastic birthday, rest of your day.
Happy birthday, Nada.
Thank you.
Look after
Happy birthday, darling.
We will always look after Brooke. But is there anything else that you can let us know about that's coming up in your future, or is it all just a bit
We've got a trip under wraps to Fort Island that's going to come up. We're going to take a very small group over there to do that in March. So we'll put some more information about that up later. And we will look at doing an international trip with Anne and Renata to somewhere.
Listen, I got a big enough car, honey. I will drive us anywhere you want
to
go.
We're coming over to see you. We're actually booking our trip to go over to see you in April, May, unless the paranormal conference happens in June that we're supposed to be speaking at. So, we're coming, Jeffrey. We're coming. Just for you.
So who knows? Yeah, who knows where you will see them?
We're coming to Missouri.
Both.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, that has been the wonderful Anne and Renata once more joining us. Thank you so much for your time, ladies. Go and celebrate your birthday as best you can. Make sure you're checking out True Hauntings podcast. Follow Anne and Renata on all the social medias, their TikTok and their everything. So make sure you follow them. We'll see everything. We'll see everything, everyone, every which way again soon. Thank you and good night. Bye.